Today, there's a war on fathers in the West. In this country, we often talk about the founding fathers. George Washington was the father of the country. James Madison is often described as the father of the Constitution, and so on. But today, society is in chaos, in part, through widespread fatherlessness, which is devastating to society. 85% of youths, it is reported, in prison come from fatherless homes. Tragically, there are some dangerous legal trends in the West that actually exacerbate the war on fathers. Stephen Baskerville is an associate professor at Patrick Henry College and the author of a book called Taken into Custody, The War Against Fathers, Marriage, and the Family. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Stephen Baskerville joins us right now. Stephen, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Just one correction, though.
Sure.
I'm no longer at Patrick Henry College. I'm now with the Collegium Intermarium, which is in Warsaw, in Poland.
Oh, I see. So, okay. Well, the website had said that, so sorry about that. Well, let's talk about this whole issue of the war on fathers, and you basically add something to it, which is that there's a legal war on fathers. From the justice system or whatever, and most of this has to do with marriages and divorces, correct?
That's correct. Yes, it's and child custody, of course. That's correct. And you don't hear much. In fact, this is the main war on fathers is the one that comes through the judiciary, though also through the social service agencies. It really started by the welfare system. And it started on low-income fathers, mostly minority fathers. And then with no-fault divorce, it spread gradually to the middle class. So it's very much government-induced, whether it's the welfare agencies or the family courts. It's definitely something that is pushed by the government, and you never hear this from either Democrats or Republicans.
Well, here's something. There's a popular law out of Kentucky to try and kind of combat what you're talking about. It's called shared parenting, where both parents have equal child custody if they're fit as caregivers.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction, definitely. I'm a little skeptical of these laws. They've had one in the District of Columbia, Washington, for many years. It's very seldom enforced. It's very easy for judges to get around it. We have to see. But a number of states have recently enacted this. So we will see if this works. It's definitely a positive, but I don't think it's going to be a panacea. It's not going to cure the problem entirely.
You've written an article which is goes along these lines. We're from the government, and we're here to end your marriage, end quote. Your comments?
Oh, very much so. That's very much what it is. It's government-enforced divorce. It's involuntary divorce. It's unilateral divorce. If one spouse wants to divorce, the other spouse has no choice. They're divorced involuntarily, and the government officials, the courts, and the social service agencies will enforce it. In fact, you could go even further. We have cases, and this has been going on now, where both parents are forced to divorce, and this is often the case. Mothers are told that if they do not divorce their husbands, they could lose their children. And this usually involves trumped up accusations of child abuse against the father. And the mother is told that, the child is in danger, even though they have no evidence for this. And if she doesn't divorce or separate from her husband, the Child Protective Services will come and take the children from her as well. So it's forced divorce sometimes on both spouses, both parents.
Would you say it's fair to say that virtually all of this began several decades ago with the whole idea of no-fault divorce, which on paper may sound good, but in reality it's led to a nightmare scenario for many people?
Oh, it's been an absolute nightmare. In many ways, the no-fault law, which was first passed in 1969 in California, was really in some ways codifying exactly what was going on already anyway. So it didn't all happen at once, but no, it's the very concept of no-fault justice is a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. You can't have no-fault justice. It's a prescription for systematic injustice, and that's what's taken place. So these new laws are a double disaster. They're a disaster against the family because of the single most important cause of the destruction of families. And secondly, they destroyed the political system, the judicial system, the common law system, which has been protecting the rights of this, you know, the freedom of individuals for centuries. You know, the greatest legal system in the world is the English common law, and that's what ours is based on. And no fault justice undermined both of those, the family and the system of common law justice.
You've used the phrase divorce machinery. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's complicated, but the main pillar of it is the family courts. They are astounding. I read about that in my book. They violate virtually every article of the Bill of Rights and other constitutional provisions. They are secretive. They violate the basic principles, not only the U.S. Constitution, but the basic principles of the common law, such as, you know, due process of law and open justice. You know, they operate in secret oftentimes with no record, no transcript. Evidence is falsified or evidence is suppressed or evidence is manufactured either way. And they're unbelievable. So the courts are the center of the whole thing. But there's other things as well. The social service agencies are actually older. As I say, this really began in many ways. The whole machinery really began under the welfare system. And it began with low-income black men and other minority families. And this is where you get these accusations of domestic violence, child abuse, and non-payment of child support. And really, this welfare machinery is not just social workers. They have quasi police functions. They are effectively plainclothes police because they have the power to punish people for their idea of what constitutes child abuse or domestic violence. They can arrest people for non-payment of child support, and they have all kinds of quasi police powers. So it's a very, very dangerous, with none of the protections, by the way, none of the limitations that we expect of police to observe people's due process protections, people's constitutional rights. So it's a very, very questionable, very dangerous development.
Would it be safe to say that some people who are accused of being deadbeat dads really aren't, but, it's kind of part of this whole, they're caught in the, in this whole terrible system?
Oh, very much so. Yes, I've talked about that in my books and in a number of papers, academic papers I've written on that. They're definitely manufactured. I mean, the children are taken from the father, usually, sometimes the mother, but usually the father, in order to be able to force the father to pay these extortionate levels of child support. And state governments actually make money on child support. They use it as a form of raising revenue. It's a complicated procedure, but they can do it. They can make quite large amounts of revenue by government officials, in other words, state government politicians, even Republicans who talk about family values, they have a financial incentive to maximize divorce, to maximize fatherless homes, to maximize broken families. It's astounding that we allow this kind of thing. It's not just radical Democrats. It's conservative Republicans preside over these state governments, which, take children away from their fathers and then shake the fathers down for these extortionate amounts of child support. They give a percentage to the mother, and which gives her an incentive to file the divorce in the first place. And the children are, basically used as tools and pawns for the government to make money. So it's absolutely scandalous that anything like this. I mean, the devil himself could not have designed a more evil system.
Well, you've used the phrase multi-billion-dollar abuse industry. Comment on that, if you would.
Well, like I say, this happened under the first under the welfare agencies with the low-income families. The social workers began to acquire these police powers, mostly at first for child abuse, which has no definition and is not very strictly adjudicated, and then later on for domestic violence accusations, invariably against the father, and then for enforcement of child support. So it gave these social workers this these police powers, and these police powers spread to the middle class. As you know, if you followed the developments a few years ago with the Me Too movement, you'll recall this is a very aggressive feminist movement that was accusing politicians, especially and celebrities, of various gender crimes, sexual assault, sexual harassment, rape, sometimes very vaguely worded, sexual abuse sometimes, or sexual misconduct. You know, very, very unclear what these things mean. But they found that it worked so effectively against low-income black men that they found they could use it against middle-class white men, or middle-class men generally, and then including, you know, quite powerful politicians and figures like, the Duke of York and Julian Assange and Bill Cosby. And it worked because the state, the government, the politicians, and the media were so cowardly that even when these accusations have zero credibility, zero plausibility, people still are very reluctant to say so. So, you know, it's very easy to concoct these accusations without any evidence and throw them around. And people are afraid that if they say anything object at all to this, then they'll get accused also. You know, the accusations will spread to them. It's a classic kind of witch hunt. So, you know, if you want to look at the origins of things like Me Too and these accusations, or the accusations that go on university campuses, you know, with rape, male students being accused of rape and sexual assault, or similar accusations in the military, the Tailhook affair in the Navy and others, where large numbers of, you know, decorated soldiers, heroic soldiers, are thrown out of the military because somebody concocts an accusation of rape or sexual harassment or something against them. And all of it started in the divorce machinery. The divorce machinery was that's where they rehearsed it. That's where they pioneered it. And if you look nowadays, look at what's going on with Donald Trump. These absurd indictments against Trump for clearly petty, insignificant things, very questionable accusations. How do they get away with them? Well, they get away with them because they, the procedures for accusing Trump of all these petty peccadilloes was pioneered and rehearsed in the divorce system, first in the welfare system, then in the divorce system, and then in the political system generally. So this is where it came from. If you want to know why Trump and others and January 6th defendants are treated so unjustly when clearly they're innocent, conscientious American citizens, this is where it originated.
One of the things you write, and by the way, we only have about a minute left. You wrote, quote, "The moment a man has a child, he loses all his constitutional rights," end quote. Your comments.
Oh, very true. Yes. In my book, I go through the Bill of Rights one by one. There's hardly an article in the Bill of Rights that is not violated by the family courts. And others, too, like the contract clause in the Constitution, habeas corpus. I mean, these are basic, fundamental constitutional rights that define habeas corpus, that define due process of law. Some of them go back to Magna Carta. They're much older than democracy. They've been protecting people's rights for centuries. And they're just thrown out. They may as well not exist. The U.S. Constitution may as well not exist. It's just astounding, and nobody says anything about it.
And fathers at this particular time are among it's the biggest victims. Well, let me give you a website. It is Stephen Baskerville, Baskerville as in the Hounds of. Stephen is Stephen. We have a 10-second closing thought, if you wish.
For me?
Yes, sir.
Well, people have to wake up because this is no longer just limited to fathers and divorce cases. Martin Luther King said an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Excellent point to end on. Thank you so much, Dr. Baskerville. Is it Dr. Baskerville?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Bye-bye now.